Good morning. Our brother Tom isn't here this morning, so we're going to forego our music this morning. But nevertheless, we will delve into Ephesians and continue our study together as a family. So today, we'll continue from chapter 6. The passages I'll be reading are Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 to 18, but I'll only cover probably verses 13 and 14. But again, we'll continue our talk regarding spiritual warfare, how it applies to us today. So I will open up our service now in prayer. Father, we're so grateful to be gathered together in your holy and glorious name, O Lord. I pray, Father God, that you will just teach us and train us up through your Holy Spirit, Father, to be able to put on the divine panoply, Father God, all the garments that you have given us, Father, to partake in the war, not a war that's going to begin later, but a war that we are in currently, Father. We pray and we thank you, Father, for the honor, for the privilege, Father, that you yourself have given us Christ, that we might put him on every single day, Father, and never take him off. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to take these words that we're going to listen to, Father, that we will apply them diligently and dutifully into our lives, O Lord. Help us to understand and to comprehend, Father. We want to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Help us, O Lord, to magnify your name. Help us to give the glory that is rightfully yours, Lord. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 to 18. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Amen. So as I was preparing for our study, there was a commentator who mentioned something that I tend to agree with. And he said that the greatest weapon in our spiritual warfare, he said, it's not what we tell the devil, what we might say to the devil. No, that's not. It's really how we live our Christian lives. So it's not about telling the devil anything, but about showing the devil that we are true Christians, and then we exhibit how we are to live the Christian life. He went on to say that that is how the Christian responds to this spiritual warfare. He says, obedience and submission to the Lord comprises our greatest weapon. Our greatest weapon, to obey and to submit. It's not binding the devil, he said. It's bowing down to the Lord. He said that it was makes you a victorious Christian, bowing down to Jesus Christ. It's saying yes and committing to doing his word the very moment that he asks us to do it, the very moment. And Jesus, when he was disputing with Ephesians, or rather with the Pharisees, he kind of mentioned something to this. When he was having a dispute with the Jews, he told the Jews who believed in him, he told them this. He said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. If you hold to my teachings, you are my disciples. And then he said this, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He says, if you hold to my teachings, then, he said, then you will know truth, and then you will know freedom. Because truth and freedom walk hand in hand. You can't have freedom without truth, and you can't have truth without freedom. But Jesus says, if you hold to my teachings, if you do my commandments, then you will know the truth, and then you will have freedom. But that is a point that this commentator was trying to make. It's how we live our Christian life. That right there is what dictates whether we will be victorious or not victorious. We can live a negligent, undutiful, shabby Christian life and be totally lost when it comes to battling the devil, demonic powers. Or we can live the kind of Christian life that brings honor to Christ. And in that alone, he says, you can be victorious. But Jesus said to himself, to know the truth is to be free. To be free, it's only because you have known the truth, nothing else. And this is important because the first garment that we're going to find out here shortly that we must put on around our waist, he said, is truth. We must have the belt of truth fastened about us. We must. It's the first garment. And without it, nothing else stands. It all falls apart unless we're standing firm in the truth of God. Standing firm in the truth of God. So how do we overcome the powers of evil? How do we overcome the powers of evil? Because when we look at what Paul has said in chapters 4 and chapters 5, he's told us how we overcome the flesh and the world. He's given us principles of our Christian walk. When you read 4 and 5, we know that Paul has already given us a series of things that we are to put on and things that we are to put off. He says, put off the old, futile, Gentile mind. He says, put it off. And then later he says, now put on the new mind of Christ. Put it on. And he goes on in chapters 4 and 5 making these same statements, a series of take off and put on, take off and put on, principles of our Christian walk. So when we come to spiritual warfare, how do we fight the spiritual battle? The very same way, the same principles that Paul gave us to walk as Christians are the same principles that Paul is telling you to use now as you engage in spiritual warfare. The principles of our spiritual walk are the principles of our spiritual warfare. There's nothing different. That's why Paul gave us all these doctrines in chapters 1, 2, and 3. Doctrines that we would use to walk. And it's the very same doctrines that Paul says, now use these doctrines, the same doctrines that you use in your Christian walk to fight the adversary. Same principles. So we can't go to chapter 6, to this particular section, and leave what Paul has already told us. No, because all those principles that he talked to us about apply. We just carry them over. They very much apply. So we overcome the flesh. We overcome the world. We overcome the adversaries, spiritual forces of wickedness. How? Paul says, by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Everything we do, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. In our walk, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. In how we engage in spiritual warfare, in combat, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the same principles. Whether you're walking or whether you're standing or whether you're fighting or combating the evil ones, it doesn't matter. It's the same spiritual principles that we need to learn. Can you go to Luke chapter 4, verse 1? Because it very much applied to Christ. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert. Into the desert. And if you read the next verse, it says, to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and he was tempted by the devil. But he was led to where? He was led to the wilderness by the Spirit. It's the same thing for us. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. If Christ was led by the Holy Spirit, so will we. If Christ was tempted by the devil, so will we. But in all cases, if the Holy Spirit was with Christ and he depended on him because Christ was what? He was fully God and fully man. We know this. We understand this theology about the hypostatic union. That Jesus is one person, and in his one person, he has two natures, fully man and fully God. So we know that even then, he relied on who? On the power of the Holy Spirit. We too must rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So these divine vestments that Paul is talking about are the vestments that Christ had. The very same vestments. So we look at the life of Christ, and we need to say this, if it works for the Lord, it would work. If it worked for Jesus Christ, will it not work for you and for me? Will it not work for you and for me? It must. Because it's the same war we've been having for the longest time. Can you go to Isaiah 59, verse 17, please. And here it says, God, speaking of the Lord, when there was no one in Israel to restore justice and truth, It says that the Lord did this. He said, the Lord, he put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in a zeal as in a cloak. God did this, okay? So this we need to understand. This is the same armor that Jesus wore, nothing different. What was used in the Old Testament is used in the New Testament. What Paul understands to have been used before is the same thing he's telling us, now you use it. It was used by God. It is his. Now you put on the panoply of God. You put it on. If it worked for the Almighty, it will work for his saints. It will work for his children. It has to. Won't it work for you? Won't it work for me? Because if it's not, then we can only do this. We're not putting on the armor of God. We're being very careless about it because we don't comprehend that we are in warfare. Here's the thing about Christianity. One man said that in Christianity comes with the highest danger. It comes with the highest danger. How do we know? Because the Bible says so. Danger from within, the flesh. Danger from the world. Danger from the devil. It comes with the highest danger. But then he turns around and says, and it comes with the highest honor. That God takes of his own and he gives it to you. He takes his own nature and he gives it to you. His own armor and he gives it to you. You have the highest danger, but then you have the highest honor. That God will give you everything you need, all the resources you need to fight the good fight. You don't fight it without any kind of weaponry. Oh no, you fight it with God's almighty weapons, with divine weapons. So this is what we can't lose. So when we look at this passage, we can't lose the point. The emphasis is not so much on the armor. The emphasis is on the point that it is divine. It is holy. The garments of God himself. That is what makes the armor so special and so powerful and so mighty. Not that it's just armor, but that it's God himself. You adorning yourself with the life of Christ. And that what gives you the highest privilege, the highest honor as a Christian, because this armor isn't given to anyone. It's only given to the children of God. It's only given to Christians. No one else gets this, only the Christians. So are you honored? Are you privileged? Absolutely. Absolutely. You get what no one else gets, the holy garments of God. So yes, if we're being slack and shabby in our Christian lives, and perhaps we're being assailed and assaulted by the devil, by unevil powers. We're submitting to temptations. We're falling into sin. Why? Maybe we're being negligent in the way we are to put on the armor. In the way we are to put on the armor. Because we need to. We need to put on the armor. If God had to put on the armor in the Old Testament, if Christ had to put on the armor in the New Testament, and if Paul and all the apostles and all the disciples had to put on the armor, so do we. We all need to put on the armor of God. All of us. All of us. It's the same armor. It's the same warfare from the Old Testament. It's the same enemy. Same. So we need to put it on. Can we go back to Ephesians, please, chapter 6, verse 13? It says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground and after you have done everything, to stand. So here's the point. We have been alerted because that right there is the alert. You can't say, well, the Bible never alerted me. No, no. The Bible has already sounded the alarm, the clarion call. Rise up to battle. We know this. We got this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. In verse 12, we immediately got the notification, you have an adversary. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You've got that call. You know there is an enemy. Can you go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8? And here's Peter. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I mean, you can go on verse after verse in the Bible. So you have an alert. We've all been notified. We are in danger. If you're a Christian, you have danger. You absolutely have danger in this world. This is not our world. Even Jesus said, this is not my world. I am from above and you are from below. So we should understand that we live in the fallen world. And here in this fallen world, as Christians, as sons and daughters of God, we will be in danger. There will be an element of danger always. Always. So we know the danger. And then the Bible says that we should understand something of the devil's schemes. Can you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11? And here Paul, talking to the Corinthians, he says, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. So we should know something of his schemes. If you go back even to the Old Testament, because the scheming of the devil begins right there in the Garden of Eden, when he went in there and he deceitfully led Adam and Eve into sin. He's a crafty, the Bible says, crafty, and he is wily. He is scheming, always strategizing. Paul says, you should know something about his schemes. You've been alerted, and you should know something about his schemes. You should know something about the adversary. And then he says, and you have been called to guard duty. You know you have the enemy, you know what he's up to, and now you have been called to guard duty. And we get that in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Put on divine. Put on the divine. The divine armor, the divine nature. Put it on because it's the only way you're going to be able to make your stand against the devil's schemes. And not only the devil, but all his forces. We've got everything. We've been told everything we need to know about life here in this fallen world. An enemy, his schemes, and what we need to do to fight the good fight. There's a plan, and it's right here in the Word, but we need to learn it. We need to learn it. And there was this a theologian by the name of Stanley Gale, because he made a comment that I agree with. He said, spiritual warfare is not something extraordinary. Spiritual warfare is not something extraordinary. He says spiritual warfare should be ordinary to the Christian man and the Christian woman. In other words, spiritual warfare is not to be uncommon. It should be a common activity in your life every day. You should know that from the moment you get up, from the moment you arise from your bed, you're going to be engaged throughout the day in some kind of warfare. Temptations will come. The flesh will be there. The world will be there. So you're always engaged in some kind of warfare. He says, so this isn't what Paul is saying here, is not to be taken as something that's extraordinary. No, he said, it should be ordinary to you. You should know this, that it happens and it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So now Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, he says, take up the whole panoply of God and put it on immediately. Put it on. Put on truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and the word of truth. Put it on. And he gives you the proper order. He says, put on truth, which is the belt. Put on righteousness, which is the breastplate. He says, put on peace, which is the boots. Put on the helmet, which is salvation. Pick up the shield, which is your faith. And he says, and wield the sword of truth. Wield the sword of truth. And when you wield the sword of truth, engage in prayer. Because one man said many years ago, he said, prayer was meant to be violent. It was meant to be violent. It's there where most of the battles are fought by the people of God, in prayer. A violent activity, he said, a violent activity. That is where the devil comes and does his most work. When Christian soldiers get to the business of holy prayer. That, he said, is where the battles are fought. That is where you put on the armor of God. That is where it's what we do. So we go, and the verse says here, can you go to 13, please? Therefore, put on the full armor of God. You put it on, because when you put it on, you should understand this. Now, with all the panoply of God, with all the divine armor on, now you're ready to effectively wrestle in prayer. Now you're ready. It says, now you can effectively extinguish the arrows of the evil one. Now you can do that. It says, now you can resist him in the evil day. It says, now you can walk in a manner worthy of your high calling. Now you can walk in love. Now you can walk in newness of mind. Now, he says, you can be an effective, a fervent prayer. Now you can be a prayer warrior. Now. Why? Because you put on the full armor of God. But it's difficult to do any of that. It's difficult to walk in a manner of the calling which we have been called. It is difficult to do that. How? When I haven't even put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you look at the armor, that's exactly what we're doing. We're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Difficult to me to walk, to live the Christian life, to walk the Christian walk, when I have nothing of Christ on me whatsoever. No, but once I put on Christ, then I can live the victorious Christian life. Once I put on his armor, then I can engage in holy warfare. But without Christ, I can do nothing. Nothing. Very important that we understand the principle. Be ready, because Paul says why. It says, so that when the day of evil comes, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes. Very important statement there. Be ready to withstand in the evil day. Because Paul's already said something about this in chapter 5, didn't he? In chapter 5, 18, he made a copy about this. In verse 18, he says, where are we at here? Let me go back to that point here shortly. But here's a point about Ephesians 5:16. Because when you look at Ephesians 5:16, where it says, making the most of your evil time because the days are of evil. Because Paul already said that before. He told us in chapter 5, verse 16, make the most of your time. Make the most of your time because the days are evil. But when we go back to the verse that we just read earlier, where he says, in verse 13, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. So we know he's kind of made those statements already. He's not telling us nothing new. In chapter 5, he said there will be an evil time. The days are evil. We should understand that. What days? Your days, my days, now. The days between the first coming of Christ and the time until he comes again. All those days in between. Paul said, those are the evil days, the evil time. But specifically, our days and my days. The time is now. So many scholars believe that when Paul went to this verse here in 13, and he says, take up therefore the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. Many presume, yes, there is an evil time. We're in evil days. That days began when Christ came, and it will end when Christ comes again. But many believe that's not really what Paul is referencing here. What Paul is saying is this. He's not talking about eschatology. He's not talking about end times. He's not talking about the rapture or the millennium or nothing like that. No. When Paul is speaking here in verse 13, and he says, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. He's saying this is a reference to the moment now. This is a reference to pressure moments in the life of the Christian. Pressure moments. Intense moments when things are at their worst. When the devil comes to you with schemes and flaming arrows. That is the point. We're putting on the full armor of God, not because of a war in the future, but Paul's intimating because of war that's taking place now. You will undergo through very pressure moments, intense times, difficult times in your life, when things are really at their worst, and the devil seems to be all around you. And there's a pastor from Scotland. He said this, this is the time when the battle is the fiercest. It's the fiercest. He says, this is when the devil comes and there's temptation and there's opportunity and there's desire. And the devil comes very crafty, very wisely, very shrewdly, and he puts them all before you. He puts a temptation. Oh, he puts the opportunity. Then he puts in you the desire and say, go, look, have it. It's yours. Who's here? No one's here. Go. It's all there. Intense moments. And every Christian, every man, every woman, everyone goes through this. No one is exempt. Jesus was not exempt. Don't think you're exempt. No, no. He says everyone goes through this. Sometimes daily. But he said, but the devil is always ready to tempt, to give you the opportunity, to give you the desire. We know that. We saw that in the Garden of Eden, didn't we? It began with Eve, and it went straight to Adam thereafter. The temptation, the desire, the lusting, it was there. We saw it in Samson, the life of Samson, didn't he? Didn't he go to sleep? And when he went to sleep, he lost his hair, betrayed by Delilah. Oh, just go to sleep, Christian. Don't worry. Just take a little nap. It's okay. Oh, the temptation. The temptation. How about David? David takes a stroll on the rooftop. Nothing wrong with taking a stroll on the rooftop. No. He should have been off to war. But no, he just goes for a leisurely stroll on top of his rooftop, and there he sees Bathsheba. Oh, the temptation, the opportunity, the desire. It's there. It's there. And we see it too in Jesus, right? He goes to the wilderness. And there in his weakest moment, after he's fasted for 40 days, and the Bible says he's hungry, and then comes the tempter. And he tempts him. It's there. He says, oh, be ready to withstand in the evil day. The evil day can be any day. Any day. It can be today. It can be tomorrow. It can be next week, next month. Oh, but he has time. He said, but these moments come. And Paul says, be ready for this evil time because it's going to come. It already came. It's going to come again. And it will continue coming. It never stops. When does it stop? Until we're glorified. But so long as we're here on earth, temptations and opportunities and desires, we're engaged in warfare. They're going to come. He will never stop. Never. Never. So we need to be aware of his schemings. Paul says, you know his schemes. You know he's wily. You know he's crafty. Put on the full armor of God. Put on the divine panoply. Give your flesh no provision. Say no. Mortify the flesh. Mortify it. Jeremiah in the Old Testament, he says something about the old nature, the old heart. He said the heart is deceitful above all things. He said, above all things, the heart is deceitful. Who can know it? Who can know the heart? But you see, that's the heart we had before. One man said, the heart, it's evil, it's only evil, it's always evil. That was the heart before we received a new nature. But that same fallen heart, oh, that remnant, it's still with us. It's still clinging on. It's still there. Evil, only evil, always evil. Paul says, put on the full armor. You can't do nothing against that. Only God can. Only Christ can. He gives you the divine power that you need. But you need to be filled with the Spirit. So when Paul says, be ready to stand. Be ready to stand your ground in the evil day when evil comes, because it will come. And perhaps for some of us here, it's already come. And it's going to come again and again and again. So very important that we understand this. None of us are safe. We weren't meant to be here on earth safe. No, no, no. But even Jesus prayed, didn't he? Lord, I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. That you keep them from the evil one. Why? If he doesn't pray for us, oh, we will be always sifted. Sifted by the devil. Sifted every single time. Always losing. Always being unvictorious. Oh, but we have Christ in us. We have his full arsenal. We have mighty weapons of God. Did he not tell us that in the scriptures? In 2 Corinthians, can you go to chapter 10, verse 4? 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 4. We're right there. For the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. That is what God gives us. That's what he gives us. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of this world. They're not of this world. Jesus says, I am not of this world. And the weapons he gives us are not of this world either. The weapons he gives us are from his world, from his kingdom, from his armory. His weapons from his own arsenal. Mighty, divine, able to do what? To pull down strongholds. Divine, that's what he gives us. The absolute best that we need. Why? Because Paul says, oh, the temptations of the devil. Jesus says, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Why? Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. What does that mean? Oh, that the flesh is also strong. To do what? To overcome the spirit if we're not careful. It's weak in that it wants to do nothing of the things of God. It's strong as it wants to do the things that he did before. So very important that we understand when Paul says this statement. Back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. That you will be able to resist in the evil day. Absolutely important. So we do everything to withstand when the evil one comes, because he will only come as a thief in the night. That's the way the devil plays. He doesn't come and stand in your front and says, I'm the devil, I'm here to do battle. No, that's not how this battle is fought. No. Remember what Jesus said earlier? He said, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, in the spiritual realm. He's already talked about this. So Paul, again, everything we learn here, we need to understand he's taught us before. He's already told us about all these things. The very first thing he told us, he said that we are seated in the heavenly places, in the heavenly realm. And where is this war being fought? It says spiritual forces in the heavenly realm. Jesus says there, all our spiritual benefits, all the resources we need are to be had in Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God in the spiritual realm. And he goes on, even in chapter 2, and he says, that's where you are. Positionally, you are seated with Christ in the spiritual realm. That's where you go. That's where you know. We should understand this. Spiritual warfare, it's fought in a spiritual realm, in a different kind of place. That's why the Bible says, the weapons of your warfare, they're not worldly. Because your adversary, your main adversary, the devil, is not of the world. No, he's very much of the heavenly places, of the heavenly realm. To fight him, we need God's weapons, not man's weapons. And that is precisely what God gives us. Important for us to withstand. We withstand only because we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have his divine weapons. And we can now fight, what? Demonic powers. Otherwise, we don't stand. We don't stand a chance. No. You go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Now stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Here's the point. When I read it in a different version, in other words, when I read it in the New King James Version, it'll read like this. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. In other words, in verse 13, it says, put on these things. But in verse 14, the assumption is there that you've already done these things. You put them on. You're acting on them. So in one case, you are to put them on. We move to verse 14, and it says, now stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. You've already put it on. That is the assumption Paul's saying. It's not that you're still waiting to put it on. No. Once he moves on, he says, the assumption is you've already girded your loins with the truth. It's already about you. You're not ready to put it on. You've already put it on. See, we all have all these vestments already on us. The point is to make good on them, to know that we can use them, that they have the power that God says they have the power to do. What is the power in our weapons of warfare? It says here in verse 10, it said, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Well, the strength of his might, it's all to be found where? In the armor of God. Put on the armor of God, because that's where the strength of his might is. Right there in his armor. It's all there linked together. But we need to put it on. Put it on. Can we go to Isaiah 11, chapter 11, verse 5? Here, it's a prophecy about the coming Messiah, about Jesus before he came. It says, righteousness, speaking of the coming Messiah, it says, righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. So even Christ, the coming Messiah, the branch, when he comes, he will be adorned with the very same things that Paul is saying, you too need to have the belt of truth girded about you. It needs to be on your person. It must be on you. It's on Christ. It has always been on Christ. It will always be on Christ. Now we have to put it on because his nature is our nature. It must be on us every single day. So standing. Standing occurs only after you put on the divine garments. You put on the divine garments, now you can stand. How do you stand? By faith. Every vestment, truth, righteousness, salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, everything, the sword, everything is gained by faith. By faith. Every single one of them. The strength of the Lord is always in the armor of the Lord. Always. And truth. Because Paul begins with truth. Truth is a foundational piece. Absolutely foundational to the Christian faith. Because this battle is ultimately about truth. Ultimately about truth. So it is fitting. It's fitting that the belt of truth is the first piece of the armor of God that goes on. Truth. Not sincere truth or genuine truth. No, no. The truth of God. This is the truth of God that before I became a Christian, before you became a Christian, then maybe you knew something about it, but not the way you do now. No, we know sincere truth, being able to go out there and just tell a truth, tell the fact. But this truth of God is something that we didn't have before because it wasn't given to us before. But now it has been given to us. A new truth of God, the new truth of Christ, something we didn't have before, now we have it as Christians. The high honor of the Christian to be imbued with truth, having been given the truth. So it's the first foundational piece. And we know this too, that Jesus says, and can you go to John chapter 14, verse 6, please? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So that right there, a big indicator of how important the truth is. Jesus is truth. He is truth. All truth and nothing but truth. And for us to be able to go to God, to boldly go to the throne of grace, we can only go there if we have the truth in us. And Jesus says, I am the truth. It's everything to being in union with Christ. I am in Christ and Christ is in me. Christ is in you. You are in Christ. You have union. You have unity. Our identity is all in Christ. So because we have truth in us, only then are we able to do that. No one comes to the Father except through me. Why? Because we have the same truth, which is Christ Jesus. So if we don't have the belt of truth about us, oh, we don't stand a chance. None. None. It all begins with Christ. And knowing everything about Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And then truth. Truth as the utmost importance to the Christian. Because without truth, the rest of the armor, it just falls apart. Nothing stays on if there's no truth. You need to have the truth for everything else to stay on. Everything to stay on. The swords, the weapons, the rest of the vestments, they don't stay on your person if there's no truth there. No, they don't. Not at all. So the belt, very important. Can you go to John chapter 15, verse 26? And here is Jesus speaking against us. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Very important, Because we've been told earlier, Paul said earlier, be filled with the Spirit. We must be filled with the Spirit. Why? Because he is the Spirit of truth. So if we're not filled with the Spirit, we have no truth, nothing. Nothing of the things of God, nothing of the things of Christ. So it's very important to understand that Jesus is truth. And when he sent us the Holy Spirit, he sent us the Spirit of truth to indwell us, to be in us, so that we too might know the things of Christ. Knowing the truth is so important to fighting the battle. We need to know the truth, and we need to learn just how important the truth is. That's the very reason why Paul says, put this on first. Put this on first, because you didn't have it before, but you have it now. Put it on. So in referring to the whole armor of God, Paul, he's invoking the image of a soldier ready for battle, because Paul understood something about Roman centurions, at the Praetorian Guard. He understood what they looked like, how they were attired. He understood their weapons. He understood their garments. They all had a purpose. Roman soldiers didn't just put on their panoply for no reason at all. Every piece of garment they had on served a purpose, and Paul understands that. If we're to engage in spiritual warfare, everything we put on of God serves a purpose. But truth, he says, it begins there. The foundation. The very first foundation. And to the Roman soldier, okay, the belt, it wasn't a small little belt. It was a big, heavy, thick leather belt that girded his waist. And it had in the front protection that hung down. So it protected the rest of the belt. And it was encased with metal. So it was thick, it was heavy, it was robust, it had metal, it was strong. Because it held not only his sword, but other weapons as well. They needed to be close to his body. The belt of truth needs to be girded about us. It needs to be snug. It needs to be tight. Because it is the belt that gave the Roman what? It gave the Roman support. It supported not only his weapons, but it supported his back, his front, his torso. The belt is what gave him stability. It allowed him to stay tall and to be able to resist coming airmen, coming enemies charging toward him. The belt. Very important, because the Roman soldier understood without the belt, well, no, it's going to be hard to stand. It's going to be hard for me to put everything else on unless I have the belt on first. Got to have the belt. Paul says you've got to put on the belt. The belt of truth of the spiritual army, armor, it holds the sword of the Spirit. So you see the link right there? Because the belt is truth. And on the belt of truth, it holds the sword of the Spirit. So immediately you know that the truth and the word are tied together. The sword of the Spirit, which is the truth. The sword of truth. There's a linkage there that we can't miss. Paul just isn't throwing this out there. He wants us to understand just how important the belt of truth is. Because the belt of truth will hold the Spirit of truth, who is the Word of God, which is the Word of God. There's a strong linkage there. But Paul says it begins with truth. We know the truth, it occupies a very prominent place in Ephesians. Can you go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24? And to put on the new self created to be like God in truth, it says in true righteousness and holiness. Okay? In other versions, it says to be created to be like God in truth and righteousness and holiness. Everything is there. He says, how important is truth? Put on the new self, because it is a creation of God himself in truth and righteousness and holiness. You can go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So again, Paul isn't bringing new principles over to this fight. No, he's just taking the principles that he gave us, all those principles that help us to walk the Christian walk. He's just bringing them over now and saying, these same principles, this is how you're going to fight spiritual war. The very same weapons, the very same principles, the very same doctrines, taken from chapters 1, 2, and 3, 4, and 5, and now they just carry over to the fight we're engaged in. Not something new. It's the same thing Paul says, but understand it in a different way now. A different way. So it is truth revealed in a gospel. Yeah, can you go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13? And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The truth, okay? So you heard the truth because we never had the truth before. Before I was a Christian, I never had the truth. But then I heard the gospel, and I received the gospel, and I laid hold of the gospel. I laid hold of the truth. And now it is this truth that I didn't have before that now I gird my loins with the truth. Something I didn't have before, I now have. It's got everything to do with the gospel. With the gospel. Can you go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15? Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is a head, that is Christ. The truth. So we know we have this objective truth, which is the truth of the gospel, the truth of Christ. But it carries over to subjective truth, that where we speak now in genuineness of truth, in sincerity of truth, and all this because we learned it from Christ, a new kind of truth. A new kind of truth. I don't speak truth. I mean, even an atheist can speak truth, but Christians, we know to speak truth. Why? Because Christ is truth. And in him, there's no lie. None. Everything we do is to be done truthfully. Always in truth. Always in Christ. Never in the dark. Never speaking lies or falsehoods. Remember, Paul, in chapter 4, he talked about this. He says, put off all those things. Lies, falsehoods, deceit. All those things, put them off. Because you put on the truth now. You put on the truth. So truth, it's outworking in our lives as believers. We know this. Can you go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25? Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are members of one body. That is life. Henceforth, for the Christian, we put on the old, we put on the new. We've been given a truth. Gird your loins with truth. How you walk as a Christian in the truth is how you fight as a Christian in warfare. Always gird it with truth. Always gird it with truth. So the doctrines that Paul taught us and that he expounded in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 and 3, all those doctrines about the gospel, those doctrines are the truth. They are the truth. They are the truth of the armor. So it's about to take all those doctrines. You don't leave them behind. Know that they are the truth. We can't just leave chapters 1, 2, and 3 behind when it comes to spiritual warfare because we're standing on all those doctrines that Paul gave us. All those doctrines. He says, stand on those. Election, predestination, adoption, salvation, redemption, our unity with Christ, our position with Christ, being saved by grace, being saved by faith through grace. All those doctrines, Paul says, you don't leave them behind. You're standing firmly on all those truths. All those truths, all those doctrines, all those theologies, they comprise your armor. You're girded with them. Just Paul said, you can't leave them aside. No, that's how you walk your Christian life. That's how you fight the Christian battle. Always girded with truth. Always. So when we want to understand chapter 6, verses 10 to 20 about spiritual warfare, we always have to look back at what Paul already said in chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Very important. It all hangs together. Where? On the belt of truth. On the belt of truth. Paul says, put it on. Gird your loins with it. Always have it on. That right there, your foundational piece and your very first piece. Jesus said, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. Set them apart by your truth. Make them holy by your truth. And he says, God, your word is truth. That is how we are made holy. By God's truth. By God's truth. So we need to have a working knowledge of the truth. We need to know the truth. Very important. Can you go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14? Remember this warning from Paul? He warns us about this. He says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Okay,
Well, we know that the devil, we know that he uses schemes and wiles and deceit. And Paul says, but if you're holding fast to the truth, because Paul, he just finished telling us that you have pastors and teachers to what? To build you up, to edify you. Why? So that you will be this, so that you will no longer be infants, buying into anything that's out there, any kind of doctrine, any kind of philosophy. He says, no, no longer. You can't do that. No, we should all be in a point where eventually we should all be able to teach. All of us. Not being blown about by every wind of doctrine. No. So without truth, we have no foundation, we have no stability, and it makes wrestling and struggling virtually impossible. We have no chance, not without the truth. Paul says, the only way to combat doctrinal errors and deceit and wiles and scheming and all these things is by knowing the truth and being girded by the truth and holding close to the truth. That is the only way. Paul says, put it on. Be girded with it. The devil's intent is to peddle lies. That's all he does. He is a liar and the father of lies. So we should know that. The only way to combat the father of lies is to be girded with the truth of God. Be girded with truth and combat the evil one with the truth. The whole point. He's a liar. If we have no truth in us, then we can't do nothing about the liar. But if we're girded with truth, then we can certainly do something about the father of lies. Paul says, put on the truth. Put it on. You want to know the truth? Do we want to know the truth? Well, then expose yourself to the Bible and let the Bible expose itself to you. Learn the truth. Read it. Believe it. Know it. Love it. Let it nurture you. Let it edify you. Let it equip you. But you have to expose yourself to the Bible, to all the truths of God, so that you won't have a small little belt, but a strong, robust, thick belt, just like the Roman soldier wear. Not a small little belt. No, it was thick. It was designed to do one thing, take the soldier to battle. It was designed to stay on the Roman soldier. This belt that we've been given, it wasn't designed to be taken off. No, it's designed to be kept on all the time. All the time. So, the Bible warns us. It gives us plenty of warnings. What can happen when we don't wear the belt? Let me conclude here real fast. Can you go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1? It says, the Spirit clearly says that in the later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits, things taught by the demons. Doctrines of the devil. So we either hold fast to the truth and we'll gird it to the truth, because some, maybe even some in the church, some who are there may be close to the kingdom of God, but not in the kingdom. They will be led astray. But we need to be girded with truth. We need to learn the truth. And Christ says, I am the truth. The Bible tells us everything we need to know about Christ, about truth. And we need to gird ourselves with it. It needs to be closely tied to us. It needs to be a belt. It needs to be a belt. So let's not be shabby soldiers. Let's not be shabby, slackful soldiers, no. So we need to gather up the loose clothing of our lives, just like they did in the Old Testament. Those soldiers, they gathered up their garments, they tied them up, and they were ready for battle. Gird up the loins. Don't just let them hang there. No. Put them about your waist and be ready for the battle. Be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Be ready for the fight every single day. Amen? Let me close in prayer.